Good morning, Louise.
Good morning, Tracy.
Are we cold today?
Oh my goodness gracious.
It became winter.
Yes. Memories of North Bay.
Yeah, well, same, right? Yeah. I was thinking about Lethbridge and Grand Prairie, mm-hmm. places I've lived, and how much I could stand the winter if the wind didn't push it into my bones, right?
The wind.
I don't like wind.
Oh, me neither.
It's nasty. No, so I'll bet you it was like minus 20 something with wind chill.
Oh, it had
chill.
To have been. Had
yeah,
to
maybe
been.
Even more.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. Anyway, hopefully snow soon and that'll warm things up a bit.
I hope so.
I just have vision. I don't know if you had to do this too, but I was sort of plowing through baskets of mittens.
Yes.
Praying, could I please have two matching ones? Two, or even if they don't match, at least if they fit on, you know, opposite hands.
That's exactly what I was doing this morning. And like everybody was out in the car and they're waiting and they're being environmentally conscious. The car's not even on. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I've got one blue glove and the other one that's kind of black that kind of matches my outfit. But I have to decorate the tree today, right? Like the outside tree.
That's right. Oh, you'll need mittens.
Oh, yeah. Yes. So I need not these little fingerless nonsense things. I need real mittens.
Real.
So I was playing the mitten game.
Yeah. I have more black gloves than I care to say, but none of them match.
Of course.
No. It's how could you have that a house full of, it's like the socks and the Tupperware drawer lids are always missing.
That's a whole other issue in our house. I gotta do. Maybe that can be a Christmas project,
right? Oh my
goodness. Sorting through all that nonsense.
Yeah, that feels good to sort.
But
sort things out. But you
should not feel bad about wearing mismatched things.
No.
That's a thing now.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There you go. I'm hip and I didn't even know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
But no, I was going to say, speaking of sorting things out, mm-hmm. last week we had a delightful discussion about sustainable development goals.
Yes.
But it was very general in nature. So today we thought we would do part two of it and then, but focus more specifically on the role of arts and culture in sustainable development goals.
Absolutely.
Because there is not one goal that says art and culture.
Yeah. And this is unusual because I look for that in any kind of broad-based solutions, you know, to any kind of issues, any current affair sort of issues. I look for the role that culture plays in those things and there's nothing.
Nope.
And so I had to drill down, so to speak, right? And think, okay, well, there's good health and well-being.
Yeah.
That's a thing because there's actual statistics on well-being and arts and culture and stuff. So I started looking at some of the other ones and you did too. And we actually realized arts and culture have a role to play in every single one of the sustainable development goals.
Yes. And while it might seem like a stretch, if you really, at its core, the reason we don't have our own for arts and culture is because arts and culture is weaved through the whole thing.
How we achieve a lot of those things.
Yes.
Right? So if it's in the process and not in the final goal, then I guess that's where it is. Yeah.
Yeah. And so arts and culture is a means to an end.
Yeah.
Yes. But not an end in and of itself.
Because culture is the ways that we live together.
Mm-hmm.
And so
that's what sustainable goals are about.
Yeah.
Well, improving the ways in which we live together.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
Culture. Ba-doom boom. End of show.
Yeah, we're done. We can wrap it up in 2 minutes.
And now for your favorite Christmas carol.
Which Louise will sing.
No, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did the tower go down? Yeah, I won't be able to do that.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to give you a tiny little history, though, because I found it interesting about the United Nations history. I for some reason, thought it was a longer existing organization. But in fact, it was just created post-World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And in, of course, the spirit of international cooperation, trying to make sure that there was, you know, a seat at the table for all of these nations to sit down and be able to discuss rationally issues that are coming up rather than going to war.
Yes.
And the United Nations came, you know, out of World War II, but there was the League of Nations that came out of World War I for the exact same reason, in order to foster the international cooperation. But the League of Nations fell apart because they could not prevent World War II.
Could not prevent World War II.
So this is, United Nations had a renewed sense of purpose, really. It was really about, okay.
Yeah, because after the war, it really was about not punishing the vanquished.
Yes.
But the, you know, they made a concerted effort to fix Germany and to fix Japan.
Yes.
And made
support
a big difference.
Recovery.
Yes.
Yep.
And in a way, they didn't do that after World War I.
No.
Which led to World War II.
Yeah.
I think we forget that after the battle, you have to meet in the middle of the ring and shake hands and
start to heal.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's a lesson that didn't necessarily carry through to Vietnam,
nope.
to Iraq,
nope.
to and now nope. Afghanistan.
The Gulf War.
Yeah.
No. Nope.
It's not being heated very well right now,
so
I can tell you.
So very unfortunate. Yeah, and you can tie it all back, right?
Yeah.
So the whole peacekeeping piece was a Canadian, one of Canada's major contributions as we look soon to Canada 150. We have to remember that Pearson won a Nobel Peace Prize for UN peacekeeping force.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And he also established the United Nations Emergency Measures Corps or something similarly named. Yeah, it was significant. I think we're a very innovative nation. Mm-hmm. We have been for many generations. Mm-hmm. We think about peace as a priority.
Yes. And so, peacemaking is the biggest outcome of war, is how do you make peace, right?
Yeah.
Because we all talk about peace, but we don't make much peace.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just sort of wait for it. Oh, hey, there's peace.
Yeah. Well, and conflict often comes over resources.
Yes.
And I think that's what this whole sustainable development goals is trying to manage, is our very precious resources.
Yeah.
And we don't go down those terrible roads because we're managing it properly.
And,
that's
the
concept anyway.
Maslow's theory of human development. If you don't have your basic needs met, you cannot achieve the next.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
The next level of human development. So that's what we have to do. And that's why we need so many nations are invested in countries that are troubled by war and poverty and, climate disaster.
Yeah.
As much as we might think, well, why don't we keep that money here and take care of ourselves? That's the point. If we don't take care of others, we can't take care of ourselves.
Yes. We all are affected. Yeah. We all affect each other. Mm-hmm. It is a one little round planet where it really, there's no way to protect yourself.
Teeny,
protect
tiny.
In quotes.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, there isn't.
No.
No. I don't think. Some might disagree, but that's okay. We're allowed to disagree too.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that the whole planet is a better place when we help each other.
Mm-hmm. And hate is not an option.
No.
No.
Hate only hurts the person doing the hating.
That's right.
Just saying.
That's right. quick recap. 17 goals developed by the United Nations, written by the UN 77 or 66? 77.
The 77.
The
77.
Yes.
Right.
And they said to the G7, if you change one word, we'll vote against it. So anyway, here they are. We'll just quick recap. No poverty, zero hunger, good health and well-being, quality education, gender equality, clean water and sanitation, affordable and clean energy, decent work and economic growth, industry, innovation and infrastructure,
reduced inequalities, sustainable cities and communities, responsible consumption and production, climate action, life below water, life on land, peace, justice, and strong institutions, and partnerships for the goals.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Maybe that should have been number one. Anyway, so in the next, 50 minutes, we're going to talk about connect each of those goals to what's done in arts and culture, and specifically what's done locally, which some people might be surprised to learn.
Yeah. So number one, no poverty. Mm-hmm. So how do arts and culture support the goal of no poverty?
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, like I'm in a very special place. Salmon Arm is a very even kind of community. We don't see huge disparity in income. There's not a lot of desperate poverty and homelessness here, and there's not a lot of extreme wealth and, you know, where we see that sort of horrible distance, right? So we're a little bit protected here, I guess, from that.
Yeah.
However, I feel like one of the roles of the Arts Council, and has been right from the get-go, is to provide lots of opportunity that is accessible, no matter what your level of wealth, to participate and enjoy and learn in the arts.
Yes. And so that if you look at the opposite you do not have to be rich to enjoy the arts.
Yeah.
In Salmon Arm.
Yeah.
Especially in Salmon Arm. Every Saturday afternoon is free children's mm-hmm. programming. The gallery's open.
Yeah.
5 days a week.
Yeah.
It's by donation, and donation can be just a kind word. It doesn't even have to be money. So the doors are open. Yeah. The whole community is welcome. So it's not tied to money.
That's right.
Although it does cost money.
It costs money to run it. Right. And we really appreciate donations. Yeah. But donations mean that you can choose your level of giving, mm-hmm. right? It can be $1. It can be money, right? Or it can be $20, mm-hmm. whatever you want. It's whatever you're willing to or capable of giving. And sometimes it's not anything that day. And that's fine.
Yes.
Because we just want to be there and accessible.
So it's not economically restrictive.
Right.
Right. And that's not always the case in other communities, but it's certainly the case here. And I admire that about this community.
And we provide lots of other sort of, drop in mm-hmm. or, you know, come and go free opportunities. Mm-hmm. We are, in fact, the 150 Voices Project, the workshops for all the students are free mm-hmm. in animation and everything. We just try to make sure that the barriers are removed.
Yes. So I think poverty is about removing barriers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And same goes with number two, Zero Hunger. Again, it's a barrier to.
Yeah.
Right? So if you can have a barrier-free opportunity to enjoy local arts and culture, mm-hmm. You would never have to make that choice between food and art.
Right.
But you have to make that choice between other things.
Yes.
Right?
Food and rent.
Yes.
Food and power.
Food and utility bills. Food and medication. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's not tied in the same way. And yet, we do know that all of us as human beings have a creative impulse, right?
Yeah.
And whether you're a multi-bazillionaire or someone just trying to make ends meet, you still have a need to express creativity and to engage in storytelling. Mm-hmm. And so when that's at the fundamental, that's the fundamental of culture, is to be able to share those narratives, right? And challenge the ways in which we live together. And I think of certainly the storytelling exhibition from 2014 was so powerful mm-hmm. in this way, because we had groups come through and they would tell each take turns reading mm-hmm. their own stories. And let me tell you, that was a sobering mm-hmm. very sobering times.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
It was. And it was, and it's also good to point out all of the other kinds of arts that are also supportive of the goals of zero poverty and zero hunger. And that is things like the library system, right? Like you can go to the library and read books. You don't have to buy $30 books in order to be able to read stories.
And that's absolutely the fundamental of culture, is what's happening at the library.
Yeah.
Whether you're coming to read the paper or research an essay for school, or get on the internet and fill out a form, you know, that's all about a public gathering space that the community supports,
right?
So that we can support each other.
Right.
Yes.
And then there's lots of public gathering, or not even public, but semi-public, like music playing. People can get together and play instruments and sing and, you know, just gather, just like kitchen parties, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. Lots of little house concerts happening in the community. There's lots of musical opportunities that are absolutely free and accessible. I just think there's lots of things, right? Like lots of things that we can do like you said, they aren't tied to all those monetary things mm-hmm. and they provide connections.
Yes.
And that is what ultimately makes the difference.
Yeah. And so that leads to good health.
Today we're talking about the UN, the 17 Sustainable Development Goals, and how arts and culture supports each of those goals. So we've only got two done so far. So now we're on good health and well-being.
Yes.
And I wanted to point out that there was an article, and I think you shared it with me actually, so you know, about cultural participation and audience numbers mm-hmm. and
Globe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. So where... the focus of that article was kind of, you know, what's happening since 2008, audience numbers have been declining on lots of the formal arts scenes, right? The ballet, the opera, mm-hmm. things like that. And so,
arts.
Yes.
Yes.
They're getting very creative about how they're bringing those audiences mm-hmm. back in. But within that article, it just talked about some of the research about, well-being indexes. And it shows how those things really do impact our well-being. So they really want people to be able to participate. And that's why they're trying to remove barriers for all of these things. Even though those companies, those high arts are actually expensive to keep going, they're figuring out creative ways to make them keep going so that people can access them.
Yeah, it's about accessibility. Yeah. And we know, again, that those opportunities to connect leads to happiness, right? And I think we're changing the ways in which we measure the impact.
Yeah.
So oftentimes you'll hear, well, if an art gallery can't make money, it shouldn't be in business. Mm. But we're not necessarily, art galleries aren't necessarily in the business.
No.
Right?
No, they aren't businesses.
They're
connecting. And governments aren't businesses.
No, they're not. No. Yeah. It's about using scarce resources to connect as many people as you can in as many ways that you can. Mm-hmm. Right? So whether it's, again, the children's programming, connecting families, to the arts, or whether it's the Odd Socks Knitting Club, or the other thing I think people forget too is that the Arts Council pays for young people to be able to go to cultural events for $5.
Yeah.
When in fact those tickets would be more like,
$20, $25, $30,
yeah, right? And so again, you're saying two things. You're saying, here, enjoy this cultural experience, but you're also saying, we think it's so valuable, we're willing to help pay for the cost. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, people would feel, that's a gift, and reciprocity is important. So yeah, when somebody does something nice for you, we're hardwired as human beings to return the favor.
Yeah, yes, for sure. But what you said about measurement, that's so important because people are actually measuring the outcome in the healthcare industry.
Yes.
So that is an important element because that costs lots of money.
Yes. So if you can find a direct correlation between an artistic pursuit and the wellness of a hospital patient, mm-hmm, right? All of a sudden now there's an equation where you see a financial value.
Yeah.
Right? And so there's no question there's an exchange of value. The question is there an exchange of financial value? And this particular study was saying, indeed there is.
Yeah.
And it's very important.
Yes, it is.
So it could be things like, some communities have worked with their district arts councils to put local art in hospitals, mm-hmm, especially in areas where patients are waiting for very stressful things, like not in the operating room necessarily, but in the waiting to go into the operating
prep
room
or whatever.
Or if
like
you're
the green room.
Like the green room. Or whether it's chemotherapy or so the fact that they can show that it adds financial value, suddenly government starting to take an interest.
Yeah.
Because we spend most of our money on healthcare.
Yeah.
Especially in this province.
And it's just going up and up.
Yeah.
So we have to think of other ways to help people help themselves.
Yeah, and that's a democratic, demographic reality. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know we're going to be facing it for the next 30 years.
Absolutely, yeah, we are.
Yeah, and so, but also things like even rates of graduation, mm-hmm, can be tied to cultural participation.
Yes, yeah.
And there's just so many things.
Speaking of graduation, that leads us to number four.
Oh, quality education. How about that?
Exactly. And again, so this new curriculum from the BC, mm-hmm, BC Ministry of Education is about being more practical, mm-hmm, and about giving children the skills they need to figure out the stuff that they want to figure out. Mm-hmm. So I admire that.
Yeah, so it's not just about filling their head with facts and figures.
Exactly.
Dates. Yeah.
And one way to that is exploration. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there's nothing you can't explore with a piece of paper and some coloring crayons.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Nothing.
It's true.
Yeah. And so to give, to be able to provide those tools so that children can explore what it is that interests them, right? Because we all have innate interest. So again, it's not about we're going to make, it's not a factory. We're not making.
Yeah. Widgets to sell, mm-hmm, and make profit.
With widgets to work and make taxes.
Yeah.
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 So, I mean, I think it's a good,
It's a good move.
Change. It's a big transition. I think it's hard on everybody who's in the middle of it, but
Well, it's a transition with technology. Exactly. We've all had to make way faster than anybody imagined.
And even the maker space, you know, the whole push towards putting tools in their hands so they can figure it out, because that's half the game is that they have the confidence to try.
And universities are starting to change too, right? Like there's Quest University in Squamish, that the whole structure of it is a different structure, right? You spend 6 weeks on one subject and you just explore that thing right to the end until you're at, you write your final paper, give your final presentation, and then you go on to the next one. So there's a real depth of study, and that's an important, you know, like that's a critical thinking and a creative thinking skill development opportunity. Is those kinds of things. Whereas if you're getting 80 minutes of math and then 80 minutes of science, and you know, like you're just jumping from subject to subject saying what, like, you know, your brain is just not capable of going that far deep into real thinking. Like, wait a minute, that thing that we just talked about 5 minutes ago, I really want to explore that, but oh no, the bell just rang and now I have to go off to my English class.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. So we're interrupting their educational process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a,
and that's why the show's so great, because we can talk for a whole hour, right?
Yeah, it's dedicated,
and not be interrupted.
Yeah, dedicated time to explore something thoroughly and using your incredibly innovative brain. And,
oh, well, yeah, we'll see about that. But yeah, so we have about 8 more minutes to talk about a few more goals, and then we'll take another break.
Yes, so we got gender equality is next. So now this is interesting, because we've talked about gender equality in the arts, and there's the same kind of barriers, the same kind of obstacles in the arts. All the higher paid positions are held by men, all the lower paid positions by women. It's pretty, you know, I think it's just as comparable to some other industries, right? The creative arts.
Yes.
So we do have some work to do there, for sure. But in our own local community, I don't know if we have the same kind of structural, I mean, I guess because we don't have some of those higher paying positions where, you know, where it's really clear that there's men being hired for those high end positions and women for the support positions.
But I would venture to guess that for the most part in the arts community, it's like 80-20, 80% of
women.
Us are women.
Yeah.
Working, whether it's...
But a lot of that's because they're volunteers.
Yes.
Right? And that's a thing when you're talking about gender equality, you kind of have to break it down now into, okay, there's actually the pay equity issue. And then that's, you know, that's got
to
be a...
it works both ways.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, in this community, when we talk about gender equality, I'd like to see more men under the in the tent, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Around the table.
Yeah. So maybe we're at the board level at the, right? So, but it goes both ways.
And well, it's,
I was just listening to our show about women we admire, from last year or earlier this year. And, you know, it struck me that it's true. Again, we always talk about Emily Carr. Maybe we only talk about Emily Carr because we don't have that many more to talk about.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And yet, there are so many women artists. So many.
There are.
Yeah.
Well, and so, I mean, there's been so many women artists whose work has been, you know, basically buried or else hidden behind a man's name.
Yeah.
We don't even know it exists because for so many centuries, it was just not even permitted.
Right. And so...
it's hard for us to honor women that we don't know
true.
They did the thing.
And in listening to that podcast, what we said was it wasn't about the quality of the work or the amount of work that's being done. It's about the recognition of the work.
Yes.
Right. So in terms of arts and culture, one role the arts and culture plays is to recognize the work of others. Right. So if to make a concerted effort to say this person or that person. So you can do art all by yourself. You don't need anybody.
Yeah.
But as a formal, you know, arts and culture sector, district arts council, theater, you know, that recognition piece comes in to play, right?
Yeah. We still got a long ways to go in the field of recognizing artists for their work and gender equality there. Like, just like the Gorilla Girls have brought up for a lot of years now that you have to be, you know, women have to be naked in order to get into the Met Museum, right? Only 5% of women artists.
Women have to be naked. That's funny.
Yeah. It's only 5% of artists represented in the Metropolitan Museum mm-hmm. are women.
Yes.
5%. Mm-hmm.
And so maybe they're not pulling their weight, but that sector of arts and culture. But I mean, I think arts and culture as a sector has a role in terms of the recognition it can provide.
Yes, it can.
So that's how
it's just that there's a long ways to go still, yeah, right?
But that's how it can make a contribution to gender equality.
Yes.
Yeah.
And on the local level, I think we're doing a far better job than on the international spectrum. And still, there's still a few old boys clubs out there. We need to just keep challenging it. That's all.
Yeah. And
we're not going to get through all of these sustainable goals. Well, I think
we can go get through a couple here quickly because clean water and sanitation is more of a stretch for me.
Yeah. I think the only thing that happens with this is that, you know, there are artists who are bringing attention to this all the time, right? Like Edward Bertinsky is a good example. Mm-hmm. Lots of people know about his photographic work, like Christo. And
if you think about our own salmon.
Yes.
Show.
Yeah. Peak year. We've had two significant group shows that have had 10, 12 artists each who have done lots of work in the, you know, researching and, storytelling of the salmon and of the challenges that whole run is facing.
And that was a eye opener for a lot of people.
Yep.
Especially all the school groups that came through. Like I think about that, the giant salmon that Patrick Hughes made. I saw it the other day.
Yeah. Made out of garbage.
What is it?
Flotsam and jetsam.
Flotsam and jetsam.
Yeah. Or
plastic crap they found on the side.
Yeah.
On the riverbank.
On the beaches.
It was astounding.
Yeah.
And so in that way, of course, the arts can help express a complex idea in a simple and meaningful way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Same with affordable and clean energy.
Yes. And that's the other thing, too. And actually, I mean, if we're going to skip all over the place now, same with climate change.
Yeah.
That has been a huge focal point for a lot of international artists who are trying to bring attention to that. There's what was it called? The PUN, right? The PUN exhibition, the People's United Nations exhibition at Queens Museum in New York. And there was a Mexican artist who made a performance piece. What was it? He served grasshopper burgers during a lunch break to participants in a 193-person assembly to highlight the carbon footprint of meat. There's David Maisel's photographs. Like I said, Edward Bertinsky photographs, basically turning environmentally impacted areas of mining and, you know, any kinds of resource extraction into these really beautiful, swirly, you know, landscapes, but, you know, with a subject matter that says, oh, what is this? Oh, that's pollution on the ocean, right? Like, so there's lots of people who are doing these things that are turning it into an idea that helps you see things a different way, but also it's not just news that brings your attention to it. It's not just saying this horrible island of plastic exists. No, now we're actually seeing, you know, maybe macro images of
it. It's always about developing a meaningful narrative that people can relate to.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. So that's the role. Today on Artscape, we're talking about the UN's 17 Sustainable Development Goals and how arts and culture supports or helps us work towards achieving each of these goals. So we're down to, we've done about half. And we've got 15 minutes left.
Yes.
So let's go on to decent work and economic growth. Mm-hmm. I think this is important because the art sector is a sector that is continually growing. Last count, 80,000 jobs in BC were directly related to the creative sector. Mm-hmm. And that's everything from visual arts and musicians to filmmakers and authors. So you have to consider that this is a rapidly expanding sector. Contributing more to our economy than forestry and mining combined. And
shocking.
And also,
people don't believe that,
but I know.
It's absolutely true. Yeah. I mean, the provinces has made a commitment to develop and support the creative economy. Mm-hmm. And Canadians are exceptionally good at working in nonprofits and in services, not necessarily goods, right?
Yeah. Because
the world is
and this
changed so much. And the cultural worker is a very significant contributor to so many economies. And when you look at Kelowna, right?
Yeah.
It's a $3 billion impact.
Yeah. It's crazy.
$3 billion. Yeah. It went from the oldest a city with one of the oldest populations to a city with one of the youngest.
Yeah.
In a very short, relatively short time frame.
Yeah, 20 years.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. So I don't think we can put enough emphasis on number 8.
Yeah.
Decent work and economic growth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that the fact that it's a low carbon footprint mm-hmm. industry too.
Right? Yes.
Like we have to make sure that we understand this
very
is
clean.
The way.
Yes.
Yeah. This is,
oh,
this
so
is
we missed
one
that
of the
on
ways.
Seven.
Yeah.
Because filmmaking is a clean business.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And if we can, like all of these goals are interwoven, right? Like
yes.
you said. But if we can sort of see the sustainable cities one, which is another one, right? Later on.
Yeah.
Sustainable cities and communities and see that as being related to all of the green
yeah.
goals,
well, yeah.
then we know, okay, if we can develop the economies that are the greenest economies, that helps solve mm-hmm. some of the green, like some of the climate action problems
yes.
and the clean water problems and, you know.
Yeah.
And then, so.
Yeah. And number 9 is industry innovation and infrastructure.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a very good local example of in industry innovation and infrastructure here, just in terms of those bike racks downtown.
Yeah.
I mean, that was not ordered from a catalog
mm-hmm.
and shipped here, you know.
Yeah.
It was made. It was designed in Salmon Arm. Mm-hmm. It was made in Salmon Arm. It was installed in Salmon Arm. It's uniquely Salmon Arm. And it's art that acts as infrastructure.
Yes.
So
the
when
supports a green energy.
Absolutely.
Transportation.
And you
system.
Cannot find them anywhere else.
Yeah. Yeah.
So exciting. Those bike racks, I mean, and they were probably less expensive. They also took bikes out of the landfill.
Yeah.
They employed a local sculptor,
mm-hmm.
right? So I've said it before, if you're challenged with scarcity, and who isn't, talk to an artist, because mm-hmm. the chances are you can come up with something extremely creative and very cost efficient, and it's not as wasteful.
Yeah,
because we have an absolute abundance of stuff to make stuff from.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, like the whole 3 R's of the reduce, reuse, recycle. I mean, the recycle part, we have to kind of get that out of there.
Mm-hmm.
We have to repurpose, reduce, and reuse.
Yeah, now they added the fourth
because,
one is repurpose.
Yeah,
now. Yeah,
because recycling is expensive and mm-hmm. it uses resources mm-hmm. to recycle. So let's just repurpose things. Let's use them more. Let's mend and make do.
Yes.
Right? Like we've got to figure out ways to make it, keep it out of the landfill and keep using it.
Yes.
Not just throw it into a recycle bin, mm-hmm. hoping that somebody can burn it up and make it into, you know, a sweater or something.
Right. And those bike racks would have been, would have cut back on our greenhouse gas emissions.
Yeah. That's right.
Right? They had a negative, like.
Yeah. A minus, like whatever the.
Yes.
Carbon output
yeah.
or something. Yeah.
Absolutely. Now.
Like carbon credit.
Carbon credit. It would have been a carbon credit. We should take credit for that.
We should.
Because it's all measured.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's the way things have to be now. We
yes,
have to measure things. Because
absolutely.
Otherwise, we have imaginings of,
and
oh, that's
measures,
clean energy, and that's not clean energy. But actually, if you think about
yeah.
how the construction of a clean energy plant or something, how much that might use up in terms of
yeah.
resources compared to... Yeah.
And not necessarily only financial.
Yeah.
Right?
I know our costs. We forget that our costs
the value
are more than
added,
financial.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's 5 types of capital: human, social, natural, financial. And I always forget that... built environment, infrastructure, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least to my mind, there is.
Yeah.
Now, reduced inequalities is a little bit of the same as, for me, gender equity is about using the formal relationship that arts and culture has with its community to highlight inequality
mm-hmm.
and therefore, you know, to bring the narrative out for discussion.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. I think, I mean, that's always what it is. It's
mm-hmm.
storytelling, communication, you know, bringing attention to
mm-hmm.
things in a new way. That's
and there,
what we do.
You've done many exhibitions. There have been many plays, exhibitions, you know, whether it's a film at the Film Society or, you know, it can be a concert, it can be a book reading, you know, an author reading. I mean, all of these are opportunities, levers, buttons you can press to highlight reduced inequalities. And if
mm-hmm.
you don't highlight them, it's hard to recognize them.
Yes.
If you don't
yeah.
recognize them, it's hard to fix them.
That's right.
Yes.
And that's the thing about being in a society, or a little, you know, your little pocket. If you don't get out of your pocket, if you don't
mm-hmm.
travel, if you don't, you know,
mm-hmm.
sort of know what's going on in the rest of the world, you can sort of, you can think, no, we're a really equal society. We've got like no problems there. You really have to kind of get
well,
out.
Well, if you feel like you're doing okay, you feel it's equal, but
yeah, if but you, we just have to be aware. Yeah, right? Awareness is half the battle.
I had no idea. Right? Yeah, people say that all the time. I had no idea.
Yeah.
The next one is sustainable cities and communities.
Yeah. Well, we kind of dealt with that with the industry and innovation because if you're smart with your innovation, mm-hmm. you become more sustainable.
Yes.
Right. Because you think of multiple. You're using one solution to cover multiple issues and
And also, it's not boring.
Yeah. And so creative.
And we know that people like to live in communities that have a vibrant arts and culture.
Yeah.
Right. Even if because they don't necessarily
adds to their well-being.
Yes. Even if they don't go to the opera, they still want to live in a town where you can go to the opera.
I know. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Because there is a thing about people. They've been surveying people for years about this kind of thing. Like, you know, is this important? Like going to the opera and going to plays and going to concert and, you know, having libraries and having whatever. All of these things are important. Yes, 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 yes. And then they say, do you attend the opera? Do you attend the play? Do you attend concerts? And they're like,
No.
Yeah. So why? What's the thing? They want to live in a community where that is supported. Whatever reason, it makes them feel like they're in a more, you know, like close-knit, maybe more, you know, meaningful sense
connected.
Of togetherness.
Yeah, absolutely.
So even though they don't necessarily participate, they definitely prioritize arts and culture as being an element that they want in a community that they live in.
Yes. And it's very critical to that part, that lifestyle piece cannot be, it can't just be about jobs. It can't.
Yeah.
So responsible consumption and production
is,
for one thing, what I love about this one is you cannot consume art.
Yeah. It's not much. There's a few products.
And you don't, when you're done, you don't tie anything up in the garbage bag and put it out.
It's not like that. You know how that thing when you buy at a big box store, only 1% of the things that you buy are still in use a year later, right? That doesn't happen in the arts.
No.
Like if you're purchasing something, it's for life. Mm-hmm. And some things that you're buying are just ethereal, right? Mm-hmm. Like a concert or whatever.
A concert, a play.
A book.
Absolutely. A movie.
Or a movie. Those things are gone. Or books are solid but they're a year's. Like you don't usually just consume and then chuck it out.
No.
My kids are the kind that if they're going to spend $25 on a book, it's one they're going to read six times in the next year, right?
And they keep them. But I mean, I think, again, it's we don't think about it enough, but in terms of responsible consumption and production, arts and culture is leading on that front.
Yes, definitely.
Then there's the last four, climate action, life below water, life on land, peace, justice, and strong institutions.
We kind of dealt with the life below water already because we did deal with the fact that we live on a lake. It's important to us, right? We did talk about that last week, that we prioritize the lake health.
Well, it's a character, an important character in our narrative.
Yes. And so for a lot of the arts, probably mostly visual arts, attention is brought to the water. Mm-hmm. A great deal. Mm-hmm. And we celebrate it and we're concerned about it and we challenge people about it. And, I think that visual arts kind of do that. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I'm kind of thinking about how other arts support the awareness. I suppose a lot of literary, lots of storytelling about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Same would go for climate action and life on land.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because again, it's about if you don't show it, how can you know it?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the arts and culture sector is very good at showing. Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, and I mean, that's the other thing about big public art. Mm-hmm. Like lots of public art is about environmental issues.
Yes.
Right? So life on land or life in water. There's been artists who've done big agricultural performance pieces about the loss of agricultural land. Mm-hmm. There's been artists. Do you remember the panda one that we did? The guy about endangered species, endangered animals.
Yes.
What was
vaguely recalling?
He did. He made little plastic blow up pandas and set them out somewhere, and they represented the exact number of pandas
that were left
on the planet,
which was shocking.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
so
true.
So it's mainly like the land artists are helping us see the big global issues
and
it's in
sort
smaller
of like flicks
packages.
On the light.
Yeah.
Right? Because if nobody flicks on the light, we're in the dark.
Yeah.
You can't see much in the dark.
I know. And then, you know, all those places, those little towns and cities in third world countries that are entirely responsible for taking apart our electronic components. Mm-hmm. You know, like we don't have to see that, right? Until some artist takes a photo of the 500 million cell phones in a pile, yes, with people, you know, sitting around the outside, taking them apart with their bare hands, mm, with hands that are completely silver in color because of the
lead and, yeah, chromium. And
so if nobody's documenting that and showing us that, mm-hmm, in an interesting way, how do we ever know?
How do you cut through the noise? Yeah. And the dark. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I guess the last two, peace, justice, and strong institutions, and partnership for goals. Well, I think the partnership for goals is self-evident, because, yeah, you can't work in this sector and not.
Artists are collaborative by,
yes,
nature.
By nature.
It's very hard. Like, there are some artists that work in isolation. Authors go off into the woods and write books and stuff, but mainly they're
pulling together.
But without
the
together.
Reader or the viewer.
Yeah.
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 It's just built in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then peace, justice, and strong institutions. I mean, I think we also, one piece is that we heal through the arts, mm-hmm, and there's a very deep history and heritage of communities coming together through the arts, whether it's making ceremonial pieces or baskets or, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or helping each other through difficult time, through creating something together.
Yeah.
Ultimately, that will lead, that, you know, it does lead to.
It,
right,
does.
And they're doing a lot of studies now on music and music therapy for patients or working with prisoners to help them use their hands and learn a skill. Like, the whole artisan piece is very important, because, mm-hmm, at our core, we are very creative, curious, right? And anything we can do to I guess, mine that curiosity and,
yeah,
give people the tools to express themselves. Mm-hmm. And only through that can we have peace, justice, then.
Yeah. Right?
Because ultimately, peace and justice is about free will and expression.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it all comes down
even
to the individual.
Even if it means protests, you know?
Yeah.
As long, you know, but it has to come down to peace, justice, and strong institutions, mm-hmm, can support those things.
Yeah.
Public art, protests.
Yeah.
If you think about, like, the other day I heard on the radio, do they know it's Christmas?
Mm-hmm.
Remember when all those,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That was 84.
Yeah.
It's still a very powerful impact. And, yeah, that was art at work for good.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Bringing attention to something that we didn't otherwise see.
That's right.
Yeah. The role of arts.
Look at us go.
Yeah. Yay. Yeah. Okay. Time anyway, for us to take another break.
Yeah. I think it was good to connect it back to the theme of the show.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah. Good job, Louise.
And now,
as the art world turns. A dramatic moment in the arts.
Well, I love it when art imitates life, but now your dramatic moment is,
yeah,
life imitating art.
Life imitating art.
Yes.
There's an artist named Misty Copeland, and who I guess is a ballerina.
Mm-hmm.
And so what she's done is recreated some of Degas' famous ballerina paintings,
mm-hmm,
in real life.
Yeah.
And taken photos of it. I mean, it's astoundingly,
it's so beautiful.
Beautiful.
And what a nice way to sort of help people of today, like the digital generation, see how unique a vision Degas had.
Yes.
Because it was not the ballerina, I don't know, the aesthetic that we see right now is not what Degas would have seen.
No.
Right? In his time. And so it's so different. The photographs are so unlike any other photographs you've seen that it really helps bring attention to, like,
and
just how artists can turn things,
yes,
and around and make them totally different than what you think you're,
right,
seeing.
Right. And how some things have changed dramatically and other things haven't changed much at all.
Yeah.
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 So it's such a contrast, though, because it usually goes the other way around.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The artist interprets the world, whereas now the world is interpreting,
yeah,
the artist. So,
yeah,
I thought that was pretty cool.
It is, and we're kind of digitizing a lot of things,
mm-hmm,
right? Like turning things technology,
mm-hmm,
and sometimes it's great, sometimes not.
Yeah,
sometimes, but this is a really great example of how somebody's taking a new media and introducing us to something that's
or reintroducing us to an old one.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, they really are astounding. It's
What's
on
her name?
Upworthy.com. Her name is Misty Copeland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so. And Degas did a lot of ballerina pictures. Mm-hmm. It's not, I think he's only really famous for a couple of them. That one sort of single ballerina that's lit from below.
Yes.
And, you know, and then a couple that are little groups. Those are the most common viewed ones, like the ones that you see in books and stuff.
Yeah, it's putting, but he did called putting a 21st century twist on history's famous ballet works.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's probably good for the ballet too, speaking of participation. So anyway, it's a show opening in New York at the Modern.
At the MoMA?
I think it's the MoMA.
Let's person needs to just like have a seminar
New York's
to MoMA
Museum
trip.
Of Modern Art that highlights Degas' work called Edgar Degas, A Strange New Beauty. Ooh, which would be an unusual show for a Museum of Modern Art.
Yeah.
But right, you take old art and recreate it and photograph it, it becomes modern art. So in some ways there's really nothing new.
Well, we talk about that a lot, about how there's, it feels like there's no new ideas, but really there's just new ways of
new
introducing
ways of,
old ideas.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I did find online yesterday a great article called 101 Small Ways You Can Improve Your City.
Yeah.
And so many of them were related to public art.
Well, right? How about that?
Whether it's on your street, in your neighborhood, at the park, along the route, with your neighbors, or in your community. So one of them was simple as redesign a crosswalk.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh my gosh. Did you see that funny walk one? The Ministry of Funny Walks?
Oh no.
Funny Walks. Silly Walks.
Silly Walks?
Yeah. So there's a crosswalk. I don't even remember what country it's in, but it's not England.
Yes.
And they've made a little sign that shows John Cleese in doing his silly walk.
Oh, cool.
And so you have to walk across the walk doing a silly walk.
Doing a silly walk.
It's hilarious.
That's fun.
Yeah.
It's engaging. And then the other one is green, to green your parkway. So again, using normal materials, every public piece of infrastructure is an opportunity to celebrate, I think.
Yeah.
Right? So whether it's a fence or a retaining wall or, right? Mm-hmm. So that's, then let's see, add bike parking, done that, plant a tree.
We need more bike parking.
Done that.
We also need some
forge
kind of
a fancier garbage can, which I thought was awesome.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen the ones that have, the artist has painted open mouths in the garbage can?
Yeah.
Just to kind of show that what we throw away ends up inside of us,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, again, creating a meaningful narrative in an ordinary way, right?
Yeah.
The other one was set up a small interactive community art project on your corner.
Oh.
Just start talking to people. Hang some chandeliers in alleyways. I thought that was hilarious.
Wow.
Yeah. Gardening, of course. Then they do this one.
Activating the small spaces.
Yes. Make an alley into a public art studio.
Yeah.
We happen to have an alley.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it be a public art studio. Then this one was fun. It was to turn infrastructure in like that. So they have like a, I guess it's, you know, a manhole, but the art, but it's been designed by an artist. And so you can ink it and make your own t-shirt.
Oh.
Right?
Oh, wow.
Simple way to achieve instant street cred.
That's cool.
Yeah. Uses pirate printing technique that in essence screen prints manhole covers and process that creates graphic t-shirts with a clever connection to different European cities.
Wow.
Yeah. Fix up your porch. You've talked about the porch before. Then it says don't despair, which is always a nice message. And to make... And we talked about this before, is making small spaces meaningful, right?
Well, when you activate a small space and make people stop for just 2 seconds to think about something besides maybe the thing that's stressing them out, right?
Yes.
It's a success.
Yes.
So even planting flowers in unusual places makes a difference.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Take over empty storefronts, fix up your local park. A lot of these things we're exceptionally good at. Start an urban orchard. Build swing sets for adults. One day, I'd love to see our bus stops be swing sets.
Oh, that'd be so good.
Ask the local kids to help design their own playgrounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That should have been done a long time ago. I heard so many kids complaining about the new playground at a certain unnamed school because they loved the old playground.
They loved the old playground. Oh, I know.
And there was nothing wrong with it. And for some reason... funds were raised for 5 years to build a new playground and they don't even like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
and change the way people get to work, like paddle to work. You know, we know about biking and commuting and public transit, but paddle to work. You could do that here. You actually could paddle to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, you know, having canoe as a little bedroom community sort of thing is such a unique opportunity to create different ways of getting from canoe to Salmon Arm. It would be nice if we had a connecting path that was along the lakeshore for one.
Yes.
I know that that's been something imagined for a long time. Yeah.
It's expensive, but there's other ways. And then, you know, it can be things like fix a bus stop, fix up a bus stop, make animate bus stop space, right? And so we just have to really think hard about how could we make this better?
Yeah.
Right?
And how art can make it better.
Yes.
And how free stuff can make it better.
Totally.
Things that don't have carbon footprint.
How can we use this as an opportunity to show how very creative and meaningful life here is?
Yeah.
And that's what arts and culture is about.
Yes.
Meaning, right?
Yeah.
Narrative.
Yeah.
The ways in which we live together.
Right.
So I don't want to hear people say, well, art is a luxury, because it's not a luxury. It's a necessity. Mm-hmm. Ooh, this one's my favorite.
What's that?
Set the table for a community conversation. So in this photo, they just have a street closed off with a bunch of tables and a bunch of chairs outside, people talking.
Oh.
I know, right? Radical.
What?
Yeah.
Well, that would be kind of fun.
Yeah.
It's just like those,
you know, flash mobs and there's all sorts of different things, community murals, open an incubator, something we're talking about at the economic development level, and then, you know, just smile.
Yeah, could be as easy as that.
Say hello.
What are those things called again that are where people can show up to fix stuff?
A flash mob?
It's like a makerspace, but not for making stuff. It's just for fixing stuff.
Oh.
It's called a something cafe, like a repair cafe or something.
Oh, repair cafe.
And it's kind of one of those random pop-up things you can put in an empty storefront where you just get a few guys together that know, or people, men and women, who know how to fix things and bring them together.
Sure.
And people can bring their toaster or their weed whacker or, you know, whatever it is that's broken. And they come and they get volunteer help to fix it. And then we all learn how to repurpose.
We learn something new. We meet someone new, right?
Yeah.
So let's make today's goal either learn something new or meet something new.
Yeah.
Or try something new.
And how to act, and maybe think about how to activate a space near you. Because that's like, it's all about how we, you know, engage our own little community, right? Mm-hmm. We do our best in this tiny space that we inhabit. And if we make an effort in that space with people that we already know, like our neighbors, whether it be if you're a worker downtown or your neighbor in your home, you know those people. You've already got relationships with them.
Yes.
So talk. Figure something out that you could do to activate your space in a gentle, friendly way.
Interesting, unexpected way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think those Christmas trees downtown that's just space activation waiting to happen.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're all taking a pretty traditional approach. I tried something new. I'll see
hear about we're thinking about that. I mean, it was so cold yesterday. We didn't go out and do ours, but I was thinking about, gosh, we're the art gallery. We really should do something totally innovative, right?
Yeah.
But it also is hard. You want it to maintain snow and be, you know, survive against the wind and all the elements. So it's kind of hard to think. And you can't use glass. You can't use, you know, all these things that can get wet and get gross. So it's kind of hard, but I'll think on it some more. Mm-hmm. I'll give it another 10 hours of thought.
Paintbrushes survive.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's also got to be something visible when people walk and drive by fast.
See, look at us designing on the fly.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. If you want to know more about arts events coming up, you can check the website, salmonarmartcenter.ca, and click on participate and have some fun.
Yes.
Go out and do stuff. Activate your space.
That's right.
Enjoy some accessible arts and cultural entertainment.
That's right.
Just go for a walk.
Yes. Try something new.
Try something new. See you next time.
Bye now.